So, my sermon this morning is about being intentional. I put the definition up there. So, what is God asking you to be intentional about? Done on purpose, deliberate. Go to the next one. It means you're purposeful in word and action. It means you live a life that is meaningful and fulfilling to you. It means you make thoughtful choices in your life. Being intentional means you actively interact and engage with your life. You wake up every day and ask yourself, how am I going to make this day great? And I put on there, what does God say and want from me today? The next one. Okay, that's the scripture. I thought there was another slide. That's fine. Just leave it there. Before we read the scripture out of Psalms, as I said, I was in Psalms on Thursday and Friday, but they're way past now. What's God speaking to you about being intentional about? I spoke a couple of weeks ago about wake up, come alive. You remember from Ephesians? Of course you remember my sermon exactly. You know, Jesus will shed his light on you. Do the will of God. Come and live. You know, this whole point of my father screaming at me to get out of bed and put my feet on the ground and come alive. Well, what is God speaking to you about coming alive to? What is the area of your life that has to change? And nothing's going to change unless you change it, unless you make some choices, unless you, you know, it's amazing. The Bible doesn't just get read. Sorry for keep going back to there, but it's real in my life right now. The Bible doesn't just get read unless I set a time, unless I sit in my chair, unless I turn on a light, unless I open the scripture and I spend the 2 hours reading it, doesn't happen. It's one of those things I got to be intentional about. How can I be intentional about my finances, about my life, my personal life, about this church? As I said, we as leaders, we're saying, God, show us what to do as a family, as a congregation together. But what is God saying to you? What do you got to change financially, spiritually, mentally, physically? What has to change in your life? It won't unless you get deliberate. Unless you start doing some things on purpose, unless your mind clicks and it becomes focused and it becomes purposeful, and you say, I am going to do this thing. I've talked about it many times. Can I have some more of that hot water? I don't know what's going on with that storeroom back there, but literally the water is just below boiling. I'm not joking. It's true. We're a word that's going to cause a fire in there. Leave that door open, by the way. Now, where was I? Be intentional. Thank you, Jolene. What is it that you must do on purpose? I don't know. Pay your bills. I don't know. What has to change in your life and my life? That's the question I believe God's been asking me, and I believe it's not only just for me, it's for this church. If we're going to grow personally, spiritually, financially, congregationally, if we are going to do some things that are powerful for the kingdom, that affect our families for the future, set us up with great things, whatever it is, an inheritance for my grandchildren, what am I going to be intentional about today? And I always go back to our financial meetings. We had different ones come and speak over the years, and Carrie was one of them, and Jack used to be one of them, and different guys who spoke to this church. Wealth doesn't just fall out of heaven very often. It comes with a plan, and usually when it falls out of heaven, it just keeps falling. What is it that God's asking you to do? Pray, word, spirit, life. I don't even like naming the things. I'm praying that God's Spirit would somehow speak to you as he's been speaking to me, to be intentional about the words you say, about your attitude, about your heart, about life. You know, this is a silly example, but we sit here on Thursday with the Alpha group, and it's not about feeding us Christians as a meal. Thank God we get to sit and we have great meals, and when we share together, man, when Johan and Anna, I know those names, it just, we eat like kings. But I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, God, we need to see this city come and eat this. They need to worship. They need to hear. the gospel. God, help us. Help us to do that. Help us to build amazing life groups. Help us to build a worship that just lifts the roof off this place. Help us to touch people's lives for the kingdom of God. That's my prayer. That's what this is about. And so I'm saying it with a smile on my face. I'm happy. It's bad. It's so hot it shrunk the bottle. What is God saying to you today? Herman, you won't find any cooler water in that room. Sorry, the whole place is boiling. Jesus. You know, just, sorry, I'll get to my sermon, and I'm still on my sermon. But we were watching this show called Wonder, and it's about the boy with the deformed face, and he had all the operations. Have you ever seen it? It's an older movie. But there's a line in the end of it. It's this whole story about his wrestle with being accepted and people seeing the boy inside and not the face. But he stands up, and he's given this speech. But anyhow, the line that just hit me at the end of he won the award for his heart and touching the most hearts. But the line that they say at the end is, everybody, at least once in their lifetime, deserves a standing ovation. Thanks. You deserve a standing ovation. That feels like water. Thank you. And I pray that somewhere, someday, every one of us in this room would receive a standing ovation. And I know one day before God in heaven we will, but I pray you'll receive one today. And there's some folks in this room. Like, again, I'm off of my sermon, but it is still part of my sermon. Is it okay? Yeah. There's people sitting here that should get a standing ovation right today. Maybe we'll do it later, because you'll forget my sermon. And then I won't get to preach, And I want to encourage you today. Let me get back to my sermon. What do you need to change? What do you need to work on? Let God do that. Let him begin. Brad's word in the prayer room this morning was suddenly. And I pray for a suddenly that somehow mindsets would shake or things that have bound people and kept them spiritually would fall off today. There would be a liberty that would come over people's minds, over addictions, over whatever it is that they need strength to do, a choice they need to make. And not just for one day, not just for a revival meeting, but for a lifetime that you change and you get up and you walk differently because you're intentional with your life. Okay, let's look at the scripture. It is an adjective. It means done on purpose and deliberate and all that. But Psalm 119, the verse that's up there says, I hate double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Amen? The way it's written there, you might think, I hate double-minded people. He's saying, David is writing and saying, I hate double-minded. Me. The reason I know it's me is, but I love your law. I love your law. I love your law passionately. I love your precepts. I love your ways. He's talking about him, okay? So when I say I hate double-minded, but I love your law, you are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. I have 3 points coming from that verse. First of all, what do you hate? You got to hate something enough to make a change. He says, I hate double-minded. Not you. Me, he says. I hate that about me. I hate that in my life. I hate that double-minded. I hate that not knowing, not able to make a decision, not able to do something and step forward. He says, make a decision about some things. This is literally what it means. Hate some things. Until you hate something enough, you won't make the change. I hated being, here's mine. You can put the next slide up. I think the next couple talk about, okay, good. Leave it there. I had to hate not being able to bend over and tie my shoes like I used to, or to put them on, in order to lose 25 pounds. I had to hate it. You also need to be motivated by what you want. But what do you hate? Like, I hate, I got a whole list of them here. Make your own list. I hate self-pity. Even when it feels good and I'm getting something out of it, I love it, but I hate it. I hate anger. What it does for me, I love, but I hate what it does to me and the people around me. It's a weird relationship, this love-hate thing. David, you know, he was challenged by Joab. You hate the people you love, and you love the people that hate you. You're doing it wrong, David, he says to him. I hate anger. I hate complaining. I love it and I hate it. You got to hate it enough that you'll make a change, that you'll shift some things. I put a whole list of antonyms here. I don't know. I don't think I put them up there. The opposite of is unwilling, accidental. You know, the opposite of being intentional, the opposite of being single-minded, the opposite of being I'm going to do some things is unwilling, accidental, unplanned, chance, careless. Which one of these words speaks to you? Thoughtless, negligent, impulsive, haphazard, reckless, senseless, indifferent, impassive. David says, I hate indecision. I don't know about this, make a poor decision rather than no decision, but I don't know if I really subscribe to that, but man, sometimes just move on something. Make a choice. Moses said it. He said, I'd rather choose to suffer for a season, you know, to suffer with them than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had to choose sometimes to make a decision. There's many who cannot choose, who can't simply make a decision about something and stick to it and finish it. What about apathy? I don't care. Doesn't say I hate it. It's worse than hate. It's nothing. And I've spoken on this before, and I don't want to spend my time on this. It's just that get stuck in that place where indifferent, double-minded, not able to, you know, it's that wavering thing, flopping. David says, I hate it. It's without passion. Sorry. If you're talking about having a single mind, if you're talking about not being double-minded, hating double-minded, I hate double-minded, what he's talking about is having a passion and a love for the opposite. Going for something, making a decision, not all these negatory things. He says, worse than hate is just don't care. How about love the word? Do you have passion for the word of God? I need to put this plug in. Reading through the word of God, praying and fasting next week. Join us. I know we try to make it nice for everybody. You know, I know there's many pregnant women. I know it says fast and pray, not fast and work. I know all those things. But I challenge you, test yourself. Fast and pray with us. Do a liquid fast for 4 days. We'll break it at the life groups, like we said. Try it. I put it out there. You will read through the Bible. Pray. Love His Word. Whatever. Love the house of God. Decide. This is my house. This is where I'm going to get involved. Not when I feel like it. Not when it's good for me. When it's not good for me. When I don't feel like it. I'm going to push in with these people right here. I'm going to connect my life to theirs. Maybe I have something they need in my life. David said, I hate double-minded. I don't want to be double-minded. I want to be single-minded. I want to be focused. I want to be diligent. I want to be all those good things that are the opposite of that. Love God's people. Last one is neglect so great a salvation. You know, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect? These are all double-minded comments. I'm going to move on in a minute. You know, I actually like playing the guitar. And I can't tell you the day or the hour when I stopped. But I know it's 10 years at least, because we've been here 10 years. I didn't write on a notepad somewhere, I'm going to quit playing the guitar, I'm going to forget how to play. It just happened. Apathy, neglect. You don't have to hate God. You don't have to hate his house. You don't have to hate his word. I don't believe anybody in here does that. It's just neglect, little by little. So what I've done this year, and I've warned Herman, is I put new strings on Matthew's guitar. So if he doesn't steal it, I'll keep. But what I've made a commitment to myself, I can even show you the calluses. I can play Silent Night. I'm going to bring that, I'm going to sing it, I'm going to play Silent Night for you guys. The key of G. But here's my point, is that I told Herman, I bought new strings for his guitar. I'm going to play until I actually play again and my fingers are in shape, and then I'm going to buy a brand new guitar. I used to have the best guitars, and I gave them all away in Africa, and that was kind of our thing. We'd come back home, and churches would give us guitars, and I've been eyeing up a couple of guitars here this morning saying, Lord, you know my heart, Lord. You're laughing, but I used to say that in churches. And then when the service was over, they'd give me their bass and their guitar to put in a container and take to Africa. That's the anointing I had. But then the anointing left because the last guitar I gave away, I never replaced, and nobody's ever given me another one. So no guilt, brother, no guilt. Just. But that, you don't have to set out to lose gifts, to lose talents. It happens. It becomes when you're just not focused, you're just not paying attention, you're just not in it. And again, I don't want to go back to, I'm trying to stay positive here this morning, because reading through Jeremiah at 5 this morning till 7, he was not a positive guy. It's hard to be positive when I think he says, anyhow, let's move away from Jeremiah. What is it that God has put in your hand? What is it he's given you? What talent, what gift, what ability, what strength, what marriage, what home, what business, what finance, what children, what has God given you that you can take hold of and say, God, I'm going to be intentional about this. I'm going to use these gifts. I'm going to make a difference. What is it? And I'm praying that God would stir us up this morning. There would be some suddenlies. There would be some answers. You know, I'll get to it. Number two, nowhere to hide. He says, you're my hiding place, Lord. You are who I run to. Not my usual mental, emotional places I run to, but I run to you. Not my usual excuses or my numbness just fading out. Who's your shield and where do you run to this year? Where is your refuge? Be honest. Where do you find refuge? Where do you find strength? Going back to licking those old sores, or going back to old ruts, or going back to the ways you know, or do you find strength in hiding in God and running to him? And reading Isaiah yesterday, you can put up that verse. We've read that verse 1,000 times, but it says, have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. And they will mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I love that if you're feeling the battle, if you're feeling the fire, if you're feeling the challenge, we have a place to run to. We have a place to find shelter. We have a place to go to for strength. We are not hopeless. And that's number three. I'm going to move to number three. He says, know how to hope. It's good to have hope. He says, I hope, not I have hoped. He says, I hope, not I have hope. I just want to take a second there. It means it's a verb, not a noun. Means something I have is something, it's not only something I have, it's something I do. I hope. It's an act of hope. It's something I take hold of. I'm passionate about. I focused on. My mind isn't double. I have a place of refuge. I have a hope that I lean into and take hold of by God's grace. Hope is not a wish. Hope is joyful expectation of good. It's a way of living. Put your hand to it. It means reach for it. Work for your opportunity. If anything is going to change this year, it's because you make some changes. Take a hold of it. It's self-initiated. I hope. I take hold of it. And because of that, I make some steps. And I take some action. And I change some things in my life. I like this comment someone made and said, I don't hope it won't be cold. I put on a coat. You hope, but you act and you step into what you're trusting and hoping for, that joyful expectation of God that's ahead of you. What's ahead of you this year? What are you stepping into this year? What are you holding on to God for this year? What are your bold declarations? What are your statements of faith? What are the things that you're believing God for? Be intentional about. Not wishy-washy, milquetoast, panty-waist Christians, but people who have a passion for the things of God. People that we as Christians, as leaders, we have to say, why don't you just slow down a little bit? Huh. Wouldn't that be a problem to have? It's like, go for gold, man. Go for God and what he's calling you to those things. I like Isaiah 49:23. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. This week, I got a message from a friend, from someone. You know them if I talk to them about you, them to you, whatever the word is. How do I say it? They lost hope in God. And their circumstances are not easy. And they're writing me and asking, what's the answer? What do I do? I don't believe God's been faithful. I've lost it. And I'd ask you, what would you write them? What would you, you know, and not just the typical Christian ease. But we don't have any other answers except to know that God is faithful. God is trustworthy. He's declared it. He's proven himself. We can hope in him. You know, and I was going through Russell's preach from last week and the chapter of the men of faith, you know, men and women of faith. They believe God. They're cut in half. They're burned. They never saw the promise, but they believed God because they knew he was faithful. They knew he was trustworthy. As Isaiah said, whoever puts their hope in God will not be disappointed. It doesn't mean there won't be disappointments. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through seasons. It doesn't mean you may die before you see that promised city of God. But we have hope. We have a focus in our life. We're not going to lose it. And so we prayed together. He thanked me for my comments. We're going to meet up this week. And stuff is not easy. It's not. But we hope in God. And it comes back down to, where else could we go? Who else has the words of life but God? Who else are you going to live for? Who else are you going to put your trust in? So David said, can you put that scripture back up, verse 113? I was going to make you read the whole Psalm 119. That's a joke. It's the longest psalm. It says, I hate double-minded. Can you say that with me? I hate double-minded. I hate double-minded. There's stuff in my life I hate. There's stuff in this church I hate. Does that mean I hate you? No. Of course not. But I love your law. I love God's ways. When he says I love your law, it means passion. It means desire. It means movement. It means alignment. It means changing things. It means coming into a place where your life lines with God. Do you remember the prophetic word last week of bringing people into alignment? I love your law. I love your law. I could read through that whole 119. You go and read through it. His statue, his word, his light to my path. It gives young people common sense in their brains. It helps them when they're losing their minds. That's my translation. But read 119. He says, I love your law. You're my hiding place. I don't know where you're running to this year, what you're hiding behind. Busy, sports, gyms, I don't know. Fasting. I don't know what you're hiding behind. Money, talents. God is our hiding place. And he says, I hope in your word. God, speak this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for a word. One word. One word from heaven this morning to my brother, to my sister. Encourage them. Focus their mind. Focus their heart. One word from heaven this morning, God. I pray in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, we will take hold of it. We will make a decision. We'll be undivided. We will be single-minded. We'll go hard after you, Father, hard after your ways, your law, your word. I pray this morning that it would live in us. Your word, the Rhema and the Logos, the spoken, the written and the spoken. Bring it to life today. I pray for a word for my brother and for my sister. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.